It's a Panthers pre-game podcast on Panthers Radio. When was the last time we said that? Pre-game podcast. You can work it out if you can be bothered. It's been a few months. That's all I can figure out right now. As ever, I am joined to look ahead to the new season and, more importantly, the weekend action by Jono Bullard and the former Panthers netminder Dan Green. Good evening, guys.
Bonjour, mon ami.
Very good, very good, Jono. Très bien. So, guys, we're here. It's the eve of the preseason. It's very exciting. I mean, we're going to get into grips with the squad. We've talked through the squad really through the off season, but we'll you know talk about our first impressions. But Greener, as a player, and I talked to a couple of guys about this in interviews, and Jordan Kelsall brought this across about it feeling like Christmas. Just try and talk me through what the emotions are and how guys are feeling. You've got all these new guys. Some of them might know the odd person here or there. A couple have played together, of course, last season. Some are coming back, like Ollie and Tets. Do you know what I mean? What's the feel like? Is that kind of a good description, like getting together, making new friends, reacquainting with old ones? Is it kind of like, you know, having an early Christmas?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's obviously, you know, not having played hockey for sort of 3 or 4 months for a lot of them, you know, which is what they love to do. And I think in the summer, it can drag a bit sometimes if, you know, you're just in the gym, you're skating a bit. You know, hockey players just want to play hockey and, you know, they obviously love the sort of break they get, but they want to get back at it. So I think, yeah, through June and July, you're just kind of trying to get fit and trying to get ready. And then when it finally comes, it's, yeah, you know, you're back on the ice, you're back in the dressing room, you're meeting all these people, you know, you're sort of, and you know, some of the guys work in the summer, do a few other bits, and now they're kind of back to doing what they love. So yeah, definitely. I think it's, it takes its time to come round, but yeah, you know, meeting new guys, being back on the ice, it's the best really. And I think it's just the excitement for those first few games. You know, they haven't played in front of fans for a few months, and obviously two massive games coming up against, you know, your sort of biggest rival, should be, you know, good crowds in both rinks. So yeah, I'm sure the guys are chomping at the bit.
And Jono, you've had a brief chance to meet them, not as much probably as you'd like, I guess, because you've been a busy man. You're the globetrotter, aren't you? Like,
yeah, I better talk quietly about this because I'm currently in Sheffield. I'm well, here working all week.
I was going to say you were about 50 miles away from us, and that's all. But you've had a brief chance to meet the guys. And what's your first impressions? I know it's very hard, but you went around checking, you know, how to say their names and doing your due diligence. And that was on media day that we had. When was that now? Last Thursday. Mm-hmm. What were your first impressions of what you saw?
Yeah, they seem like a really good bunch, really good bunch of lads. Very pleasant, very polite. They seem really, really up for the season to come. I think anticipation and excitement was probably the most thing you could garner for them. I think they couldn't wait to get on the ice. That's the impression I got, that they were looking through their kit. They were sort of getting all their new kit and pieces together, taping their sticks and things like that. And I think they were just itching to get on the ice for that first training session the next day. And by the sounds of it, they've been worked pretty hard this week.
Well, they have. And Jonathan, it's kind of, he talked about, didn't he, in his interviews about a fast team, a hard-working team. And, you know, it's no secret the boys have been having a couple of sessions a day, sometimes trips to the gym. I'm sure many of you saw that the Army Day that was on Tuesday, the Army and Navy Day, which was really a big, big test for them. And then they were pushed, and that would be great for fitness. Greener, you must have done an Army Day in your Panthers career, haven't you?
No, I don't think an Army Day. We've been away for a few trips, like Amiens. We went to Slovenia 1 year, to Ljubljana for a few games. I think we did Amiens twice. We did the Belfast one my second year, where we went there for a double header. But I've never done any
doubleheader
kind of
in pre-season.
What's that, sorry?
We had a double header in pre-season.
Yeah, in Belfast, my second year, we went there and we played there just like Saturday, Sunday, back to back.
Well, don't remember.
Yeah, no, I've never done anything like that, I don't think. We've had a few little sort of trips and team sort of bonding things, but I've never done an Army thing. I think maybe before I came here, I remember like Richie and Kevin Bergin saying they did a couple of like excursions, or they went to Morzine and stuff like that. But No, I've never done an army day, thank goodness.
Yeah, that was the era I was thinking of with Kevin Bergen and stuff. I remember there was a TV feature about it.
So I think it was when we had Room and Under, because I seem to remember him being Jay Galbraith was on it as well.
Yeah,
so he's going back quite a way.
Good memory, Jono. That was me thinking you were part of that team. And then more recently, it has happened again a couple of times. But yeah, it was an intense day. I mean, the boys were there for 12 hours, and it was obviously physical, as you'd expect. That was in the afternoon, but in the morning there was sort of mental tasks and teamwork as well, and it was a great chance for the boys to kind of work with each other, and you know, for the coaches who got involved in some aspects and played their part. Other times they were really interesting, seeing them watch and just take in, you know, what was going on around them. So it was a great day. Thanks to the Army and to the Navy for what they did. It was an absolutely fantastic day, and to Angie who basically set it all up. So a fantastic day there. Greeno, I just want to go on to conditioning and pre-season, you know, because you're the athlete amongst us. You're still looking great shape, as even with your top off. I just with your screen was a bit lower, so we could see a bit more of those muscles. But my point is, without doing too much flirting here, my point is, Greeno, is as a player, how much do you think about the when you're in the off season and basically not training? I mean, like, I know a lot of the Nottingham boys, the nearer they get to, and it's become a habit now, hasn't it? The nearer they get to the start of the season, they get to the ice. And I think we've mentioned it before. So not only the boys that played for the Panthers there this year, Lacka was on the ice, wasn't he? You know, and a lot of guys who live locally, the Hastings and so on. So my point is, when you're in the off season and you're not skating, how much are you thinking about, I've got to keep in condition, and you might have to, and how hard is it to find other ways other than skating to keep yourself in the right condition ahead of a pre-season?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's different. It kind of depends on, you know, your age and, you know, things like that. But I think people, you know, most guys I would do it with, we sort of had phases where, you know, you might have like the first 2 or 3 weeks after the season, you just have off completely. Then you probably start back in the gym for a month or so. Then you might start doing a little bit more cardio. And like you said, you know, getting to sort of like July, you might be back on the ice once or twice a week, depending. Yeah, we would always be on the ice sort of once a week. But I think different people have different philosophies. I quite like to, you know, a little bit of time off the ice, because for that 8-9 months, you do it so much. It's nice to have a little break. And then kind of, you know, the few weeks before training camp leading up to it, you know, try and get on the ice. But nothing can prepare you for being back on the ice like that. You know, you can do all the gym work, all the fitness, the running, all of the stuff with Pete or whoever in the summer. But being back on the ice, especially for like one of Corey's sessions, I'm sure Jonathan's are, you know, fairly similar. Those first few sessions are so tough. And you kind of think, God, how do I do this every day? But you get it back quite quickly, and then you just kind of get into a rhythm. But yeah, I think it's just about building strength in the off season, having a bit of a rest from hockey, you know, looking after your body, trying to get a bit stronger. And then you kind of, you know, but yeah, that first few sessions back on the ice are torturous. But I'm sure some of the kind of North American guys can maybe skate a bit more than we could. I'm sure some of them, if they want, they can go on the ice every day in the summer. Whereas obviously for us, it's a little bit harder. But yeah, so I'm sure they're fairly fatigued at the moment.
Yeah, so that kebab that you probably had like 1 week after after the end of the season, Greeno, comes back to haunt you, does it? Is that what you said?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. No, it doesn't. I find anyway, it doesn't matter what you do, you can be as fit and healthy and living so well, but as soon as you get back on the ice, it's just a different sort of fitness. You can't replicate it anywhere else, and it's hard. But yeah, I'm sure they've had a few early nights, and they've felt a little bit beaten up, but once you start to play a few games and the training probably eases off a little bit, you get back into it really quickly.
I don't know about you guys. I'm really excited about this team. And someone said to me the other day, I can't remember who it was in a phone call, everyone's excited about their team pre-season. There'll be 10 different sets of GMs and coaches and media people and players and equipment managers and, you know, excited about their team. But, you know, Greener, you've probably had the most chance to interact with them. Actually, I'll come on to you in a minute, Greener. But Jono, you know, you look down at what the coaches are trying to build. You know, you've had that short chance to see them and interact with them, that they've started to show themselves in social media clips and interviews. You know, this team, as I say, I'm not going to sit here and say it's going to win, it's going to do this. I'm not going to say like things like that. But you know, because you know, you're not going to stick your neck out on the line and make pressure. But this team has a lot going for it. It's slightly under the radar, I think, but with not just other fan bases, but its own fan base. But you look at the parts, and when I saw people on social media trying to put their lines together, it's a bit of a juggle looking at where they played and what they brought. You know, I don't know, you know, about you, but I'm really excited about these moving parts and where they would fit in.
Really intrigued to see how they play. And I think the emphasis this season and what Jonathan has built, and I think what Jonathan wants is a team in every sense of the word, all working for each other. And I think that is the philosophy that he wants to go with. So I'm really, really excited for this weekend to see how it all comes together in those opening games and how we look on the ice. Because it's like you say, everybody is confident before the start of the season, but you only really get to see how a team is when they start playing, when they start getting on the ice and seeing how they interact together. And I'm really, really excited to see how this team gels and how they get on against Sheffield at the weekend. I think it's going to be a very exciting side. I think it's going to be quick. I think the transition should be superb between defence and forward play. And I do genuinely think that we're going to have a team to be proud of this season.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Jono. A team to be proud of is a great way of putting it. Greener, so you've had that chance to interact with them away from the ice rink. How are you finding things? Are you getting that feel as well? Again, it was Mike Robinson who said something like, I'm impressed by the history of the club. I can't wait to play in front of fans. We were sitting we were just off to the side in the corridor, but he was saying, I can't wait for the fans to be in the building. I think it was Weston Michaud who said something along the same lines. I get the impression this is a team that's just bursting to get onto the ice with a crowd behind them and is reveling in that opportunity.
Yeah, I think obviously it's a very young team, a very excited team. I think there's a lot of guys in there that have a lot to prove. You know, we don't have many guys who are kind of near the end of their career and they're here for a year or two and that's it. You know, whether they'll be here for lots of years or they'll move on, you know, they're all looking to build careers and, you know, move on to sort of higher leagues potentially. So, but yeah, I think going back to the history, I think they all, you know, they see the rink, they see the facility, how they're being treated and everything, you know, the new dressing room. And I think they're just excited to get on the ice. You know, a lot of those leagues they've played in, they don't have the fan base like this league does with, you know, the cheering and all the noise, the whole game. And I think a lot of them, because they're new to the league, they're really excited to see the style of hockey and see the fans and everything. So yeah, I think it's, you know, a couple of hard sort of weeks of training camp, and I think now they're just all, you know, chomping at the bit to get out there and play.
Just talk about one thing I think we touched on in the off season about the fact that have this size, this team got enough size. Greener and Jono, where do you think Panthers come in average height in the Elite League? Greener first.
Well,
1 to 10.
I think all I will say is, I mean, I obviously don't know the answer to this, but I mean, I think on the whole, we have a lot of smaller players, but then you have like Rock, Tets and McGurty, who are all massive. When you average it out, you know, Tets is like two normal people. So, I mean, I don't think we're at the top, but I bet we're probably sort of and like Logan's big as well. I bet we're top three in height.
Okay, Jono, are you going to give me one? What do you reckon?
We're third.
You've looked it up, haven't you? You knew.
Yeah, of course I've looked it up.
So what's interesting
not,
is...
No, I'm not, I don't mean I've looked it up just now. I mean,
I knew you'd have looked it up. I knew you'd know this already. So what's interesting, I mean, if you go on 6 foot, there's eight teams on 6 foot. If you're going to break it down, Panthers just literally, well, them and the Flyers, 183.71. The biggest team is Dundee on 185, and the smallest team is Guildford on 180. There's barely a whisker between them, really. But it's, you know, and the average age is very interesting as well, because you look at the average ages, and Sheffield are the oldest with 28.32, and the youngest is 26.14 with Fife, and Nottingham are just close with 26.55. But it's really interesting that the Panthers fans' perception is they haven't got the size. But that little thing that I just thought of while we were chatting, Jono, just goes to show that those fears may be unfounded. I think they're unfounded, but I've had these long discussions with people who will try and convince me otherwise, and that's fine. That's what I love about this sport. But you look at that, there's literally, I mean, 5 centimeters is not a lot, is it? So has anyone got the size that perhaps we remember from the Super League era and a bygone Elite League era?
Well, I'll just point out that the second smallest roster in the Elite League last season won all the trophies. So,
great start.
Yeah. So there you go. Interesting point you make about age, though. Steelers being the oldest at 28.3. But overall, the average age of all the rosters has come down quite a bit over the last few seasons. I think about 5 seasons ago, the average age was 29 in the whole league, and it's now 27.1. So it has come down quite a bit. And it does seem that a lot of teams are going for youth now. We seem to be getting a lot of players who are only 1 or 2 year professionals or are just starting out the professional career. And I think that's why we're seeing a much faster brand of hockey as well throughout the league.
Would you agree with those comments, Greener, about how the, you know, how the league's set up? It's very different to an era that's still fresh in a lot of people's memories, but it's very different, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, even when I first came to Nottingham, you know, it's everybody had some big bruisers, you know, big physical tough guys, but I just think the whole game has changed. You know, even if you look in the NHL, you know, you've got guys that now come into the league at 20 years old and score 80, 90 points. And, you know, they might weigh, you know, 75 kilos. 20 years ago, they wouldn't have been able to play in the NHL. And now they're leading the league in scoring. You know, the whole sort of world of hockey has changed in that respect. It's a lot more about speed and skill. And, you know, I think it is nice to have some size. And we've got, you know, probably three or four really big guys well over 6 foot. But yeah, I think on average, you know, that just like Jono said, you know, Belfast were almost unbeatable last year and that they had one of the smaller sides. So I think it's more about, you know, team toughness. You know, you can still be physical and block shots and hit and you know, play that style of play. You don't have to be big and, you know, tough to do it. So, yeah, I think that kind of rule's gone out the window years ago, really. And, yeah, I think that those days are kind of gone for hockey. And, no, I think we'll be absolutely fine.
And I know some people will counter back and say, we're not just talking about size, we're talking about grit. But personally, again, I'm not sure how anyone can make an opinion on a group of players they've not seen play before. Just because player X is small doesn't mean that he's not going to play with grit and stand up for himself. And I think we touched on it before. Some of Panthers' most famous, not enforcers, but guys who played with grit, Greg Haddon, Bruce Richardson, there's two off the top of the head, were small guys. Interestingly, while we've been talking, you know, I talked about that formidable London Racers team that bruised everyone before them, yeah? their average height was smaller than this current Nottingham Panthers team, 183.55. If the stats are correct, maybe because it's 20 years ago, you know, there's no real, you know, proof. But I think it just goes to show that, you know, the discussion about size and about grit is a really interesting one. And I think the comment that you made, Jono, about Belfast last season, you know, is really fascinating indeed.
Guildford were the smallest team.
Yeah.
And look how well they did.
So they were the top two. The two smallest were the top two.
And there's not much in it. I actually thought I would see an average age that was a bit higher going back to this 2003-04. But actually, again, if these stats are to be believed, you know, the average age that year ranged from Manchester. I mean, that was early Elite League era. So that was a very different league. That average between 28.18 Manchester and Nottingham, the youngest year that year, 26.58. But that's because we have people like Clarkey, Leaves and Mopes in Nappies.
Well, yeah. No, you probably had like James Neal, Bullis and Lacko that were like 15 as well.
Yeah, exactly. But if I pick kind of a strong year for Nottingham and, you know, like a year 2013-14, you're looking at the average age there and Nottingham there, look, 29.88. Look at that, three teams at 29, Nottingham, Belfast and Sheffield. So, you know, it's very interesting to see again with the average ages, you know, coming down. Look at this year here, 2018-19, Cardiff average age 31, Belfast 30.74.
I think as well, you guys might think differently, but I think that also comes down to the amount of imports too, because, you know, back then, say you had 10 imports, you were signing your 10 best players, you know, you're sort of, they were older, they probably played in the besties. Whereas now, because it's 15, it's a bit more spread out. You're getting younger guys. You know, you can't get 15 ex, you know, AHL players because they're just, the salary doesn't allow for that. So I think back then, all your money was kind of in those 10 imports. So they were all a bit older, ex-NHL. Whereas now I think it's a bit more spread out.
Yeah, Jono, any final thoughts on that debate?
Yeah, no, I think Dan makes a really, really good point there about the fact that with the less imports, the money did stretch further amongst a smaller group of imports. But now, with his 15 imports, the money has to stretch further. And I think that's why we're seeing a lot of players who are perhaps early in their pro careers and in some cases coming straight out of college. But with that, you tend to get a more skillful, quicker brand of hockey.
I can't remember whether we've done this before on recording or off recording, but, you know, just to finish, you know, if you're going to just your hunch, and all it can be is a hunch, who's going to be the Panthers player of the season? I think I made mine clear on a podcast but one, but, you know, we'll come back to mine very at the end. But let's go first with you, Jono. I mean, look, it's guesswork. It's, you know, very, very small sample size of what you got to do. But from what you see, what the videos you've seen, what you've seen in stats, what your research has done, come the end of the season, Panthers won X amount of trophies, let's hope. Who is the Panthers player of the season? Who has made the biggest impact?
Oh, it's a really tough one because he's three. I've got three.
Okay, give me.
I'm going to say
three, and then tell me one who edges it.
So the three are Matthew LeMay, Adam Johnson, and Hugo Waugh.
Who?
And I think I'm going to go Hugo Waugh.
Wonderful. Okay, that's really exciting. I hope we go all three different ways. Greener.
Yeah, mine, I think, is going to be Otto Nieminen. And it's a lot of it is because of your interview with Paul Thompson. I just think the way he spoke about him, you know, he just said so many times how I think we underestimate how fast he is, how good of a goal scorer. I'm not saying he'll be our best player, but I think he's going to be dynamic. I think he's going to score tons of goals. I think he's going to just be fast, offensive. I think he'll just be someone that really stands out. So, yeah, I will say Otto Nieminen.
Yeah, Tomo purred about him on and off the recording.
Yeah.
he heard about both players in very different ways with different personalities and different attributes, which was really interesting to see. And again, when you've got someone like Tomo, who's coached such a successful team in Coventry, Great Britain, if you remember, he took, you know, in an era where Great Britain weren't as competitive, he took them to within 10 minutes of a promotion to the top flight of world ice hockey. He also won a bronze, I think, at least one more in his time. Sheffield Steelers, it wasn't as successful, but I think he won one league title, John.
Yeah, he won the league, yeah.
Won the league and the playoffs.
Won the league and the playoffs. So when you've got a coach who's coached in the DL, the top division, you know, the top flight in Germany, and of course now making a name for himself in Denmark. When he talks in such glowing terms, you know, it was no surprise. I think if he could have got Otto Niemann back, I'm pretty sure he would have done. As you say, that's, you know, to hear about both players, that's good. My one is Victor Björklund. I think I said that a few weeks ago, and seeing him around the rink and the little bits and bobs he's doing on the ice, I don't think, you know, anything's changed there. Be interesting to see, you know, the captains. I feel like, you know, that might be something that will come soon. Not had the conversation yet, but will the coaches name the captains in time for the weekend, or will they just take a little bit more time and wait them for the league season? That's one.
Who do we think it's going to be then?
Oh, well, Victor for me was, I think we talked about that, you know, Victor is up there for me. Obviously, Ollie.
Yeah.
Anyone else, boys? I mean, there's loads.
I think Caruso's got to be one of the favourites.
100%.
Probably the oldest guy, most, you know, played here last year, you know, played in the NHL. I mean, if you're going to go with sort of the, is it three assistants again? Is it a captain?
Good question. I'm not sure. Teams vary, don't they? Some like three, some like two. So that's a...
Yeah, I would say all the ones we mentioned, you know, for me, Caruso, I don't think Ollie will be captain. Not that he won't be or he shouldn't be. I personally just... I don't know. I think Caruso, I think you have Ollie as an A. You maybe have Johnson as an A. You kind of want a mix of guys that have been here before. And, you know, a kind of new as well. So I'll say Ollie and Caruso definitely to wear letters and probably Johnson, but I wouldn't want to call which way around it is.
Are you in the same ballpark there, Jono?
I think they're good choices. I might even chuck Jordan Kelsall in there.
I was just about to say Kels. Just about to say.
Because, I mean, this is his fifth season with the club.
Yeah.
And, you know, he speaks very well, Jordan.
Really
so
good.
I think he could be someone who's certainly in the mix. Another one, I think Carl Neal.
Yeah, I was going to say him.
Neal has been captain before.
Yeah,
a previous club. So I think he's probably in the mix as well.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. Well, very interesting, guys. That was great fun. Two of us were on time today. One was a bit late. Never know which one.
Yeah, we won't say who.
No.
Yeah, the Roy Kent lookalike.
The one who's got, you've got to be right to have no top on, eh? We finally got.
Yes, 20 odd degrees.
Yeah. Lovely, guys. Thanks very much for joining us. Been great to catch up, and I guess we'll do it all again post game on Sunday when the post game podcast will be back with us. We're planning a few different things with the podcast as well this season, so watch out for that one. Hopefully, have some interesting news in the coming, I don't know, week or couple of weeks. Just watch this space. Can't say too much right now, but we're planning to maybe take it on the road a little bit. That's all I'll say for now. If things come off in the way that we hope, but anyway, for now, thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next time on the Panthers podcast on Panthers Radio.